Hi everyone, I'm Gary Nall. Nice to be with you today to share positive information. We're going to begin today's program by looking at a study from Harvard University. It's about DHA. That's one of the essential components to the omega-3 fatty acids. And if you take that, they say it's linked to a significantly improved a periodontal outcome. Good. So what they're saying is this. Scientists from Harvard report that supplementation with DHA, omega-3 fatty acids, may improve periodontal outcomes in people with infections, inflammation. The data was published in the Journal of Dental Research. It indicates you should be using this. It decreases the average depth of the pockets between the teeth and the gums, and the gingival index, which is used to assess the extent of gum disease. In addition, inflammatory biomarkers in the gum tissue were significantly reduced, and that was done at the Beth Israel Medical Center at Harvard Medical School. Good information, easy, inexpensive, and that's just one of the many things that the omega-3 fatty acids do, in addition to helping your heart and prevent heart attacks, atherosclerosis, also helping your brain as well. Our next study comes from a major institution, and it deals with caprylic, that's C-A-P-R-Y-L-I-C acid. It's an effective weapon against candida, which is the yeast overgrowth, and biofilms. This is according to the Heart Disease Research Foundation. Now, anyone who has a high sugar diet probably has experienced candida on many occasions. You can get mouth candida, lung candida, vaginal candida, anal candida. And it gives off a terrible odor. And a lot of people brush their teeth, use a mouthwash, use a tongue depressor and cleanse the tongue. And if they still have bad breath, that could be from sinus infections where the bacteria is forming in the different chambers of the sinus cavity and then dripping in the back of the throat. So every time you breathe, you're breathing it out. Or it could come from poor digestion, parasites, and candida, in which case is coming up and out, but it also comes out of your sweat as well. Anyhow, it's very unpleasant, and it means you're in poor health. So get off the sugar and refined carbohydrates. So also they found that with symptoms of joint pain, brain fog and depression, a stubborn candida albicans, fungal overgrowth can wreak absolute havoc on your health and well-being. And like many pathogens, candida is capable of forming into biofilms, meaning thick adhesive layers of embedded microbes. And researchers have been working overtime to discover an antimicrobial treatment. Well, hello, I've been working with it for a long time, and I learned from probably the finest medical doctor, scientist on candida in American history, Dr. Crook down in Alabama. He wrote many books on this. I used to have him on my radio program when he was still alive. Go on a yeast-free and sugar-free diet. That'll help. Get off caffeine. Start having caprylic acid, which comes from the juicing, the whole juicing of the whole grapefruit. It's in the seeds, what gives it a bitter flavor. But that's really good for you. All right? So this new study shows that caprylic acid, again, you can find it in coconut oil and grapefruits, can help eradicate candida biofilms. That's important. By the way, you can't eliminate candida altogether because it exists normally as part of the microbiome, the community of microorganisms in the human body. But when you have antibiotics, or you have sugar, alcohol, then the good bacteria is destroyed and the bad bacteria proliferate. That destroys your immune system also. And when candida is out of control, like in advanced AIDS patients, that's called candidiasis. And we found when I was working with over 2,000 people with full-blown AIDS from 1974 to 84, before it was even discovered, the HIV virus, they had the same symptoms. And I remember once a guy came into the office and began to talk, and he held his hand up here, and I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Well," and he pulled his hand down. His mouth looked like someone took little white cotton balls and just stuffed his whole mouth. So I had one of the physicians come in and take a look. And we asked him, "Have you had any kind of scan of your lungs to see if this is in your lungs. He hadn't, and he did. He had it in there. Anyhow, this study was published in the peer-reviewed journal Frontiers in Microbiology. So I've seen it at its worst. And yet, with bitter melon juice two or three times a day, very healing, and vitamin C, intravenous vitamin C drips, made a big difference. But it's the diet that'll really get it out off of you. And also, in addition to eradicating candida, albicans biofilms, caprylic acid, was effective against MRSA, that's methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, as well as E. coli, Salmonella, bacteria. Another study comes from the Environmental Working Group. The study shows synthetic vitamins in fortified breakfast cereals is harming children. Yes. Breakfast cereals that are fortified with synthetic imitations of vitamin like zinc, niacin, vitamin A could be harming children. So says a new report by the Environmental Working Group. Researchers from the Consumer Advocacy Organization maintain that many cereals, breakfast bars, and other breakfast products marketed to children contain excess levels of synthetic vitamins. They may harm vital organs and immune function in the long term. So get them on natural foods so you don't need to fortify them. After all, when you see something fortified, it means what was originally there has been milled out, removed. Not good. Whole foods are completely harmless, and they don't have to be injected with anything. Now, another study from the University of Exeter, which is in the United Kingdom, shows that gardens could help dementia care. Well, forget dementia care for a moment. It helps everyone. I love gardening. It is my first hobby with all the work that I do. And at this place in my life where I'm trying to help educate the world public on challenging science that is official science, corporate science, proprietary science, versus supporting regular independent science. And think of all the consequences of that. In fact, I want to thank many of the people in this audience who 3.5, almost 4 years ago, when COVID was coming to us and we didn't know anything about it, we did our homework. And I went to the peer-reviewed literature and I wrote an article only using peer-reviewed studies from PubMed, the National Library of Medicine. That's our official repository for supposedly the best science. And I only cited those studies, and there were many of them showing, look, we could all get infected, probably will, but it doesn't mean we're all going to be equally adversely affected. The stronger your immune system, the better your response against any disease, cancer, heart disease, dementia. So pay attention to the immune system, pay attention to your health. So I advocated a diet, and that diet was a healthy, vegan, full-spectrum diet. Plus, the articles showed the power of vitamin C, zinc, quercetin. Now, this was before we knew about hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin and some of the other FDA-approved off-label medications that doctors were beginning to use with good results. Now we have over 500 studies on ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine alone, just those two, showing how about 85 to 90% of the people who take it early and take it properly under a medical doctor's care, they don't die, they don't go to the hospital. In fact, one clinic using those techniques had 10,000 patients, and as long as they used it early, every one of them recovered quickly. Now they had natural immunity, and of course natural immunity was attacked, and yet natural immunity is when you have an infection, but you're not vaccinated. And does that equal, is it less or more than a vaccine? Well, it's completely different what it does in the body. It works with the innate immune system, and it creates antibodies. So the next time that you find any type of that kind of virus, even in different forms like Delta, etc., it's effective. And it lasts a long time. Now all the scientific literature, I mean all of it, shows that the vaccine waned very quickly. So whatever immune protection it gave, it was gone in for 8 weeks. And then the more vaccines you took, the quicker it was gone. So what's the point of taking the vaccines? Assuming there were no adverse effects, if you were infected, you were. Right now, there are people who were infected 3 years ago who still have an active immune system. And one scientific paper projected that it could last for most of a person's life at some level. In any case, one of the things I do when I'm not doing all that work is I garden, landscape architecture. I create gardens. I'll take a place that doesn't have any gardens, nothing at all, and I build it up so you have beautiful gardens. I get great pleasure in that. And planting trees when they're small and watching them, nurture them so they grow. And suddenly you have a whole park-like setting. And anybody can do it if you want to. I'm just saying that if you get someone who is getting older and has signs of dementia, and if you give them space to grow things, even growing sprouts is important because you see a seed and then you rinse the seed, you soak it overnight, then you rinse it, you put it in a jar with some form of netting, and then so at nighttime you can rinse it and turn it on its side so the water doesn't collect, doesn't mold. And then about a week later to 2 weeks later, you have a full, magnificent bouquet of sprouts. And of course, some of those sprouts are extremely beneficial, including broccoli sprouts, your most powerful sprout. But growing flowers, growing edible flowers like nasturtiums, pansies, growing like fruit that is going to come back every year, your blueberries, raspberries, and black raspberries was red. I'm just saying grow things. And if you want something really neat, and if you have a home in the suburbs, or you have a windowsill in the city, plant aromatic. Lavender, lilac, honeysuckle, rosemary, chrysanthemums. And at nighttime, when they bloom, all that aroma goes right into your house. I like taking a walk around the property at night because of all the different aromas that I can smell. Anyhow, all this benefits people who are suffering from dementia, providing them with a sensory stimulation, an environment that triggers memories. Positive memories. After all, I was just cutting grass yesterday, and I have a big pasture I cut. But when I was coming back from cutting it, all that aroma of the freshly cut chlorophyll on the grass came up, and suddenly I was back when I was, 5 years old, and going up and down my street when people just cut their grass in the summertime. That wonderful smell. So, the sensory mechanism works, and it can help with how a person ages, especially their brain, just saying. And finally, from the University of Western Ontario, a study suggests cannabis used during pregnancy can cause lifetime cognitive deficit for the offspring. Now, this is really important. Again, let's be practical. If we legalized all drugs and then set up health centers for getting people safely off drugs and also providing them with the humanistic psychological input that would help them understand why they became addicted and what responsibility they have in that process, well, then we would not have the gangs, we would not have the murders, we would not have the crime, we'd not have all the overdosing. But just providing them needles or drugs up in Seattle and Portland, San Francisco, Los Angeles, that's not the answer. It's not the answer. But helping him at the emotional level, psychological level, and then physical level, that is. So we should have legalized marijuana a long time ago. But we should have legalized it because of the cannabinoids, the oils, and then all of the different phytonutrients in that that can help breast cancer, lung cancer, glioblastomas in the brain, seizures. There are tens of thousands of studies around the world on the benefits of that. Smoking marijuana, even though it should be legal and we should allow, in my opinion, everyone who's ever been convicted of using a drug and put them in prison, they should be let out. That should be erased. They should be able to start over. That's just my own personal opinion. In any case, smoking marijuana, I've seen it destroy the lives of three of my closest friends. Destroyed. They couldn't function. Delusional, psychosis, and paranoia. They just couldn't function anywhere. And all three ended up in mental institutions. And fortunately, one of them was in a mental institution where Dr. Martin Feldman, my close pal, and myself were able to get the person out and get them on a program that got them off the drugs. But the effects are terrible, and yet they've made this myth up. Oh, smoking marijuana is, you know, really good for you. It's not. There's more carcinogenicity in smoking marijuana than cigarettes. And again, I believe you have a freedom of choice, but do your homework. Do your homework. Look at all the people who've had problems. That's different than making it illegal. I'm against making it illegal. I'm against arresting people for it. But I'm suggesting, listen to this latest study. Now, by the way, this is not the first study. Previous research has shown that prenatal cannabis exposure can obstruct the normal growth of a fetus. Okay, the long-term impacts on the brain development were not known. But Western researchers are now providing fresh insight into this area while also identifying a possible direction to treat the adverse effects. This is from the study. The team of researchers, quote, "Our research shows that prenatal THC exposure can lead to serious cognitive and memory deficits that are sex-dependent, enduring, and potentially lifelong." So, just trying to give you a warning. Do your homework, and then make your choices. But if you're pregnant and you're smoking marijuana, you're going to impact negatively your fetus's developing brain. And that's not good. All right? That's the latest on health and healing. We're going to take a break and come back. We have a lot more to share with you. Oh, by the way, there is a study just out of Cincinnati. It shows that cognitive therapy that uses mindfulness techniques like mindful meditation and quiet reflection and facilitator-led discussion. I did this last night with our anti-aging group. We have two different anti-aging groups, and we're following them for 90 days at home. And every Sunday night at 8 o'clock, I give a talk. Luann gives a talk. They have a chance to bring us up to date on all they're doing so we can be there as a support system. But I do a facilitator-led discussion, meaning I take a theme, and then I share that, and then get their feedback. And I got a really nice letter from one of the people in the email from one of the people in the group saying they hadn't thought of that before. It opened up a new door of awareness to get back into life, to get out of their comfort zone. Good. And anyhow, that was published in the Journal of Child and Adolescent Psychopharmacology. So if you go to GaryNall.com, at any time, you'll see all the essays, video clips, articles that I have there for you to benefit from, to become educated. And that's good. I hope you are. Anyhow, also you can find out how to sign up for the Gary Null newsletter there as well. Now, we have thousands and thousands of people every week going over to Gary Null YouTube or Rumble and downloading, watching the classroom on the air. Now, this past week, I did all kinds of, you know, heart disease, a whole hour on it, and a lot of other conditions that people suffer from. So you know what the orthodox approach is, what the alternative approach is. And it's all cited. Every single statement that's in there comes from the Library of Medicine research. So it's quality research. So I'm going to be doing a whole new batch this week, every day, and there are hundreds already there. So if you want to empower yourself, become healthier and happier, have information that's not easy to find, and you wouldn't have it, now you do. Class them on the air. Go to Gary Null YouTube for that. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. Nice to have you listening in. For the gentleman from Argentina, another one from Brazil, another one from Istanbul, got your emails. Tell me what you'd like to hear more of on the show, and we pay attention. We try to always program the show so that you get brand new information. That's your health and nutrition. You get exclusive looks at some of the topics that are either not being covered or covered in a biased way. And there's nothing political. I don't advocate conservative, liberal, Democrat, Republican. Those are all secondary because I advocate understanding who controls all of it. And I'm going to do that right now to give you an idea. I have some really interesting information. And it's interesting how some of the people affiliated, not all by any means, probably not the majority, with Pacifica were so determined to try to prevent me from broadcasting any information on COVID. Because without looking at the research, they just happened to believe that who am I to tell people when Anthony Fauci should be the only person telling people the truth? Okay. And in fact, the mainstream media, all of our governmental agencies, the entire medical industrial complex, all the scientific community, they went along with that. But who was right? Who saved lives? Well, I know a lot of you did your homework and built up your immune system. And those articles came from the National Library of Medicine. Every single suggestion came from there. That's before we knew about hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. That would be a little later. But even that, we were the first radio program in the United States to bring you the national scientific studies, meaning from peer-reviewed respected journals, from outstanding scientists, by the hundreds, not one or two, hundreds, showing you that they were saving up to 85 to 90% of people's lives, keeping them from going in the hospital, etc. So if you listen to what the medical community was doing to save its own patients' lives early on, plus you build up your own immune system, so if you were infected, your natural immunity would kick in and protect you far better than any vaccine, and that's been substantially proven, then think of the people who will be alive today that aren't, because they listened to the wrong people. Now, I'm going to give you two examples of that in just a moment, but before I go there, everywhere you look, critical race theory is coming up, and identity politics. For example, just today, it was announced that the New Jersey Educational Board drops male and female from the vocabulary. Can you imagine that? Remember, they're going to drop mother, father, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, grandmother, grandfather. They don't want to hear these terms ever again. You can no longer say you're a woman. You have to be a cis woman, something that a small group of radical individuals decided would legitimate their position by making them the women, not you. Where are the feminist groups who stood up supposedly for women? Where are you now? I don't see you. Maybe I'm missing it. But now New Jersey, not surprising, like California and New York, God, you can't go. I had this lecture last night. Let me just divert for a second. Because I was working with the people every single Sunday. I work with one group, then another group, another. The ones who were on campus in the anti-aging study and the ones who were off campus is the control group. And to motivate them to understand why they should stick with the protocols, and they're just lifestyle and behavior protocols. There's no medicine in here. And just common sense. Why are so many people so self-destructive? Well, that's what I talk about. The underlying cause, not the symptoms. And almost everything in America is symptomatic. When was last time we went to the actual causes? And that's where it gets confusing. And I mentioned, imagine in life, you're beginning a career of any type. There's a learning phase. And that's where you have to have your focus, your discipline, your understanding, an open mind, so you can allow new information in that allows you to master something, no matter what it is. Becoming a school teacher, becoming an engineer. You know, becoming a sanitation, they all require mastery. But then after about 3 to 4 years, you've mastered it. Now, you can continue that mastery, and that's important. It's like someone becomes a celebrity, and almost instantly, the vast majority stopped growing. They no longer are part of that Socrates' concept of use your freedom and your celebrity to continue growing. Instead, well, I got the $1 million contracts, the $100 million contract. I don't need to grow anymore. I'm here. And what they don't realize, what we as a society do not realize, that every one of these upward mobile efforts in life, some smoother, some not as steep, some not as complicated, but even becoming a good parent requires mastery, and becoming a good friend as well. In any case, you reach a point where you no longer have to think about what you're doing. It's second nature. And all of us have mastered many things. Everyone listening has mastered many things. But then what we don't realize, and this is something new for you, I hope, to focus on, we begin the same effort in the opposite direction. We got up, and now we're going down. And if you doubt this, take a look at all the people who were in great shape when they were in high school, college, or professional sports, and stopped exercising, and look at their health now. Think of all the people that were concerned about how they're going to pay for their college education, but then they got the contracts, now they got agencies, and they've got all this money coming in. Do they save it? They think they're spending as if 100 cents out of every dollar is disposable income. It's not. In fact, depending upon your career, upwards of 60 to 70% of every dollar you make is going to be obligated to the government at the state level in California. Why, anyone who lives there is beyond me at this point. Unless you really want to get real California, go up and live on Market Street in San Francisco for a month. You know, if you're wealthy, share your wealth. Isn't that what you believe in? You know, let's upgrade these people. Hey, what kind of drug you need? We'll buy you some. Yeah. See how that works. And by the way, I just put a video up today. Go to prn.live, down to the footnotes, and you will see a video taken yesterday. It is the worst I've ever seen the streets of San Francisco, one of the most beautiful cities in America. It's like Calcutta. But see for yourself, not just a few streets, all the streets. And the person's punching people in the face. The guy's walking down the street and suddenly a woman comes out screaming, boom. And that's just normal. Everyone defecating everywhere, shooting up everywhere. And what's the city doing about it? They created the problem. They're clueless of how to solve it. But in any case, that's the downside of decadency, power, where you want your ideology to be what gives you power for the future. And so a small group of people say, let's keep our power, and here's what we're advocating. Let's get rid of the police. Let's legalize shoplifting and theft. Let's legalize or not punish people who attack other people, who commit acts of violence against other people, who harass, sexually attack other people. Let's no longer make that an issue. And it's not. In carjacking and all these other crimes where people should be held accountable at some level, they're not. What do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen in New York City? Every single morning at 4 o'clock when I get up, I read the Metro report of what actually happened. And it's just disgusting. And yet now we walk around a problem, we choose not to look at a problem, or we hope that the part of the city we're living in is free from that problem for today. Today, maybe, a year from now, everyone in every neighborhood in New York City will be a cesspool because there is no driving power against the corruption of the state and the local governments and their politicians and their ideology. So watch what I'm talking about. Anyhow, I'm talking about a larger issue. Everyone who cannot continue to grow, develop, and open themselves at the spiritual level, at the human level, they're going to descend just as rapidly or faster than they got up there. And so the athlete begins to spend money, $800 on a bottle of Vodka when Vodka has no taste. It's just lime that you put in it. But they want to be known for having spent that money and all the cars they buy. So they're spending money at 100% of their income, and then they go broke. And then nobody cares about them. There are maitre d's in a restaurant someplace. Well, that's happening everywhere in our society, everywhere, where, listen carefully, enough is never enough. If you have power, you need more power. If you're corrupt, you don't care. Power protects you from your corruption. Look at the Justice Department. Look at our justice system. Look at all the politicians who've committed crimes and insider trading. None of them held accountable at any level. So now they want to groom children early on, and let's take away anything that represents an accurate or historical or cultural basis that is challenged. So here's a little clip from Brandon Smith of altmarket.us. Quote, the next generation is being groomed for destruction. Here's why they are vulnerable. I'll just quote a paragraph. Quote, the past week, the National Educational Association, the largest teachers union in the United States, issued guidelines on the use of leftist activist symbols in public school classrooms. As part of their advice to teachers, they recommended violating district and state rules and hanging items such as pride flags and BLM flags. This is generally cited as a means to, quote, start a conversation, a way for teachers to circumvent school rules. They might not be able to spend each day spinning lessons on woke concepts. Actually, they do. But if a child asks a question about the flags in the room, then they can provide context. The National Educational Association has been one of the primary driving forces behind the intrusion of woke ideology into the public schools. Around 97%, listen again, 97% of their political fundraising goes towards Democratic candidates. They seem to be obsessed with the grooming of children into the leftist fold with lessons focused on critical race theory, gender fluid propaganda, and socialism. If you want to know where this sudden surge in social justice cultism came from in terms of America's kids, leftist teachers and the NEA are to blame. Then it goes on and explains it. Okay, being a teacher at the college and university level for 45 years, we did not see any of this in any of the classrooms, the curriculum, for decades. But now it's on steroids. So I want to address something. Just something to put out there to give you a pause and allow you to think about this. Critical race theory is one of the most dangerous concepts in our entire mindset. I'm only going to share with you a small handful of unique human civil rights activists who addressed racism because there was much more about their thinking to critique the critical race theory, woke, and Black Lives Matter movement. I'm going to share a few thoughts on Martin Luther King, Gandhi, W.E.B. Du Bois, Malcolm X, James Baldwin, and Rabbi Abraham Heschel. Now, what differentiates these civil rights leaders who address racism from the followers of critical race theory is a statement by Arthur Koestler. Quote, the pull of the future is greater than the push from the past. These civil rights leaders put their focus on the future. Therefore, they were optimistic and hopeful for real systemic change, but beginning in people's hearts. Critical race theory is just the opposite. It's only about history and past racial injustices. History is history. It has always been. So obsession with the past and allowing that alone, and that's the key, alone, to define the present and future is delusional. We can't change history. So why be completely conditioned and brainwashed by it? Primary and front and center, the culprit for racism today is critical race theory. It is, by its very teachings and philosophy, it is the new Jim Crow systemic racism. And like racism is innate in the system, like DNA is in our body, unlike every person mentioned just a moment ago, it downplays the role of the human to transcend his or her limitations. Critical race theory is like saying a pile of rocks and boulders in a field are racist, and that the rocks have motivation and intention towards creating division and biases and bigotry. Similarly, a system is just a system, like rocks and boulders. A system doesn't have emotions, good or bad. And yet we will say corporate America is bad. It's evil. Rich people are bad. They're evil. Well, based upon what? A corporation is an entity that did not exist throughout history. Businesses did, transactions did, treaties did, but not where you have a contract that allows you to do business. So the individual, so it doesn't have emotion to it. It doesn't have a mind, doesn't have a soul, doesn't have morals. It's not good or bad. It can be whatever the leaders in it have. So therefore, individuals, a few, a handful of individuals who have power, run a corporation or run a government bureaucracy, can suddenly be themselves morally bankrupt and corrupt and biased, in which case then the institution protects them. Because when lawsuits occur, it doesn't occur against individuals at the corporate level, it's the corporations. So corporations can commit all kinds of heinous crimes and pay a fine, and no one's reputation is changed. But the critical thing here is the institution doesn't change. It's just more careful in the future, or doesn't even have to be careful. If you're making a lot of money, no matter what the fine is, it's going to be a pittance based upon how much ill-gained profit you made. Even when people died, like with Vioxx, where they knew it would kill people, they didn't care. So I share that with you. So critical race theory has got it wrong. This is not institutional. It's individual. And what we should do, if we find that a corporation has, with malice aforethought, committed a crime against humanity where they knew what they were doing was wrong and would hurt people, but they would make a profit, OxyContin, one example, then take away their charter. Oh, well, then they don't exist anymore. No, they do not. And they cannot function without the charter. They can't function as a corporation without the protection of a charter. So you see, these people are so limited in their intellect. They're so vacuous. They're so lacking in critical thinking. They're an embarrassment. And yet this permeates both the left and the right. And that's shameful. So if you're going to be smart enough to come up with some idiotic concept and make it work, at least get people to believe you, even though most people don't, at least understand what you're being critical of. Be critical of the individual racist, the individual bigot, the individual power seeker, the individual immoral person. If you did that, that's understandable. But if you're using it as an institution, then show me the institution in America that is not, as institutions, based upon the people at any given time running them, has not been immoral and inviolate of all that is what we should be living by. I could go through religious orders where the preacher says to the congregation, I need to have that $60 million private jet. True story, because I can be closer to God's in the clouds. The congregation says, okay, and gives them money. Perfectly legal, but completely immoral. You want to go through all the religions and show in the religious book what's wrong with them? Why not do an abbreviated version where you only have the good and leave out everything else? That's not... Those are people who control power for a period of time and frequently groom the people they're going to pass it on to. So when you talk about something like critical race theory, understand it is purely racist. Critical race theory is like scientific materialism. It wants us to believe that human beings can't rise above the social conditions they acquired by living within the system and their own racial heritage. So if critical race theory were to critique the civil rights leaders, if we had a way of bringing back all of the civil rights leaders I just mentioned, and they were to appear today, they would all be destroyed. Martin Luther King, why would he be destroyed? Because of his colorblind. His pursuit of peaceful integration of races, they would say, you're naive because it is the system that is racist and the system that must be destroyed. Because it produces inequalities. Critical race theory would also accuse Martin Luther King of perpetuating racism because it does not focus on racial injustices in history. Well, then you didn't read Martin Luther King, as many of us did. He was certainly fully aware of the entire basis of slavery and all of the harm that came from that. But he also saw that focusing only upon the past would not change the present. And it was his efforts in the present that allowed the laws to be changed, so therefore institutions could not jeopardize their charter or their significance by having institutional racism. Also, Martin Luther King might counter that critical race theory overemphasized racial differences and therefore perpetuate racial division. Martin Luther King, of course, believed people should be judged by their moral character and not their skin color, whereas critical race theory focuses only on skin and ignores greater moral behavior. In fact, it condones its opposite, including violence against the system. Martin Luther King was also emphasizing universal rights, equal treatment under the law. Critical race theory would agree with the latter, but denies the universal because it emphasizes history, which is particular. Martin Luther King acknowledged the psychological toll of discrimination and segregation. Critical race theory is doing the opposite by advocating for segregation to protect racial integrity, but then reinforces negative psychological emotions by doing the same. Martin Luther King later in life advocated for a coalition that included all races. Everyone was invited to his table, unless you didn't want to come. Critical race theory alienates groups, especially whites, as D'Angelo and Kendi do. Another proof is critical race theory's use of divisive language. Did you ever hear Martin Luther King screaming in someone's face, beating him in the face, burning down local black businesses, and pounding their chest, jumping up on cop cars, taking strangers off the street that disagree with him and beating the hell out of them? I don't recall any of that, do you? Nor any of the other leaders. Today, that is common. Since Martin Luther King espoused universal rights, which included socioeconomic class, religion, but critical race theory focused solely upon race rather than other forms of discrimination, Martin Luther King's message was hope and optimism. Critical race theory, because of its inherent deterministic philosophy, can only foster hopelessness and victimhood, pessimistic to its core. It's like every apple in the basket, rotten, but we're the only ones you should eat. Now, take W.E. Du Bois, emphasizing racial uplifting. Read his books, should mandatory reading. Through education and cultural and social advancement, he believed that every culture had something within it that we could benefit from. He wanted us to appropriate the best of every culture. That was smart. He also believed, well, he would be criticized today by critical race theory for his focus on victimhood and therefore hindering a person's personal growth and development, which we can see across the board among the woke who have become stuck in adolescent immaturity. All they can do is yell and scream and spit and curse. Yeah, that'll get you friends. Du Bois was all about blacks integrating into the mainstream while preserving their cultural heritage. I repeat, he was a major supporter of integration, but he also was a major supporter of don't lose what is uniquely and beautifully interwoven through your associations throughout the generations of your cultural heritage. Bring that forward. Whereas critical race theory fosters division by creating us and them. You're with us or you're against us. And that's the mentality. And like Martin Luther King, Du Bois was about universal values, psychological empowerment and self-worth, economic empowerment and optimism and hope. Do you remember there was a time in America when we still had segregation where it would be allowed and against where it wasn't, but you have thriving businesses in spite of all that. You had thriving communities of minority individuals. And why isn't that ever looked upon? Why don't you see how many millionaires you have within the black community in just one town in Oklahoma? I mean, it was one of the most prosperous communities in the world, had every kind of business imaginable, owned by blacks. And you didn't have crime. You had a jail, but rarely did anyone get in it. Why can't they ever focus upon what they have gone through? Likewise, critical race theory would criticize Gandhi for nonviolent resistance and his view about the possibility of humans to transcend the limitations and flaws in the system and history. Gandhi never picked up a rock, never threw it at anyone, never picked up a club, never beat anyone, never cursed anyone out. In silent protest, the Salt March, it broke the back of colonialism and the British power over it. And with Nehru and a hand of about nine other people, the hands of nine other, they got freedom from Great Britain. So Gandhi would be criticized today for the same reason I just mentioned. Also the role of compassion. He didn't look at you as the enemy, wanting to hurt you, kill you. He looked at you as a person who is still a sacred soul and wanted to have a dialogue and an integral approach to change, which includes spiritual values as higher ethics. Gandhi had also advocated for inclusion dialogue, meaning let's talk about this throughout our lives. Critical race movement advocates against dialogue. They're in favor of censorship, canceling you, condemning you, and destroying you, no matter what you're doing. Now, I'm not going to go on with this because I want to get to a video before it's too late. We're going to go to a video right now, two videos back to back, and I want you to listen carefully because this is just more information for those who took the vaccines and thought, I'm okay, nothing has happened. Think again, listen carefully, these two videos back to back. Sorry, we're having a technical difficulty there. Let's try the other video. Bring it down. I'm sorry. We've got to technically get those to where they play properly. We'll do that on tomorrow's show. Your turn. Talk back. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Americans are starting to talk back. All this week, starting tomorrow, I'm going to have women in this audience, frequently very young women in the 22, 25, 27, who were hardcore radical leftist activists who saw the light, each in a different way, and decided to change. Not to become Republican or conservative, just to change because they saw how toxic their propaganda to their own mind was and what freedoms they were not expressing in a constructive way. That starts tomorrow. Also, a very interesting video. I've reviewed the video. I talked with some very well-known and famous investigative journalists over the weekend, and they haven't done anything with it. So we will. We'll air that tomorrow. That'll be interesting. And also, remember I was telling you that a whole lot of lawyers all around the world are bringing a lawsuit against governments and individuals? Well, I'm going to have the head of that tribunal for 20 minutes tomorrow, showing you who they're going after and who their witnesses are. This is a who's who of the greatest scientists and physicians on the planet, talking about the lies of COVID and Fauci. So the lawsuits are going to come and there will be millions of people involved because now people are showing the truth. You know, just one last thing on Malcolm X. Critical race theory might agree with early Malcolm X. Remember, there are two Malcolm X's. There's his first journey and then his second journey. And they were very divisive. But of course, after his Hajj to Mecca, his philosophy underwent a radical change that would be at odds with critical race theory. Notably, unity of all forms of oppressed people. Come together no matter what your oppression. And stand for something that changes our perception, so we become aware of where you're at and what tools you need to go forward from here. And rather, critical race theory would be all over him on all of this, because Malcolm believed in a holistic liberation, which was economic, social, political, that went far beyond defining the solely as systemic and historical. And Malcolm X's shift in the second part of his life towards inclusive views suggests he might criticize critical race theory for alienating individuals who don't fully identify with its terminology of being a victim. And of course, let's not leave out James Baldwin, the African-American novelist, essayist, great mind, critical critic and activist. Critical race theory would criticize him because of his emphasis on the individual consciousness being capable of personal transformation. And therefore, it overlooks systemic racism and the structures of inequality in our institutions. But Baldwin's counterattack would be the same as the others, with all of the inclusive, very skeptical views of human beings. Well, human beings don't have souls. We're human beings, you know, we're all victims. All of us are victims. And if you're not a victim, then you're a perpetrator. That's simply mind-numbingly stupid. But Baldwin was an important advocate for cultural exchange among different racial and ethnic groups, contrary to critical race theory and woke, who condemn any cultural appropriation in favor of harder divisions. And then there's Rabbi Abraham Heschel. Because he was the most important Jewish civil rights activist who marched with Martin Luther King, in critical race theory, we criticize Heschel for his emphasis on spiritual and moral life, which again have nothing to do with critical race theory's philosophy. They don't believe in any of that. They would argue that he's ignoring the historical structure of racism. You mean a leading rabbi doesn't understand history of suppression? Wow. Wow. Well, okay, if that's what they want to believe, but every rabbi I've ever met has a very keen understanding of being persecuted with pogroms and inquisitions and the first and the second ventures from the from Italy into the Holy Lands and what they did, the Crusaders did. But that's just a few thoughts. Now let's see if we have any callers. 888-874-4888 is our number. If you do, I'd like to hear from you. And but I just want you to know that there's a whole group of people within our educational system grooming young minds. In fact, one clip, I'm going to play this clip tomorrow. It's a professor, and she believes, and I'll post the clip. You won't believe it. She believes that young children should be exposed to men and women's genitalia, so that when they come across it later through the trans movement or some other movement, they're used to it. She said that's a good thing. Is it? What role does the parent have in deciding and determining the insights and the understanding of sexuality? You're now saying that we should allow children to be exposed to genitalia, and then there's other professors who want to remove pedophilia as a term and allow and encourage adults to have sex with children. That's how far extreme. Remember when I said when something is never enough? So when wokeism and identity politics and critical race theory reached a part where they're impacting everything on the planet, nearly, at least in Western cultures, and then they get our attention, and then we think this is just stupid, don't pay attention, not going anywhere, and it goes somewhere. They now have power, and then you descend. And that descent is taking us into a very decadent and a very dark place within our social psyche. And people are speaking up. Parents are saying, where did you get permission from me as the parent? And the woke saying, we're the parent. We've already eliminated mom and dad, mother and father, woman and male. We did that in New Jersey. It's the law. You can't. No one's using male and female. How dumb are the legislators? Well, it's New Jersey. That's a self-evident question, like California and New York. This is utter corruption. So parents are speaking out, and if you don't speak out, then they're not going to stop. Whatever they've done up to this point that seems so extreme, it'll become even more extreme. When people who are absolutely acting out of sociopathic and psychotic behavior, who have no real experience in life, when they start having control over the plane, I wouldn't want to be in first class coach or in the bowels of the plane, because you know it's going to crash. We're going to say goodbye to WBAI, and we're going to go on to the top of the hour at PRN.live. Just want to share another little bit of a commentary, a little different insight. You can agree or disagree with it, but maybe it'll hope give some people some deeper insight than what we seem to be exhibiting now. Now, let's see what we have. We have a person on. Is your name Nan? Hello?
Hi, Gary. It's Nan.
Hi. I just want to mention to people that we're coming up to about 4 weeks before we start our 2-week health retreat down in Texas. And I have not spoken with you, so I don't know what you're going to say, but I wanted people to call in who had been there and had an experience so people can see it's not just like going off to Club Med or a retreat or the Catskills of the Jersey Shore. This can be life-changing. So, Nan, the forum is yours. Tell us what you experienced there, please.
That's exactly what I wanted to share. Thanks for the opportunity
Hold on one second. Engineers New York, please bring down the microphone. Thank you. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Thanks for the opportunity, Gary, to speak about my experiences at the Villa. I was actually one of the participants in Gary's fifth anti-aging study a year ago, which was a study to prove that Gary's protocol of lifestyle changes, supplements, and personal outlook will not only improve your health, but reverse the aging process. In addition to feeling more energetic, I completed the study in better physical shape with much more energy and a lower blood pressure. I found myself more confident in making decisions and how I wanted to live my life moving forward. The study lasted 3 months, and I've continued since then to follow your protocol because I've seen the results and they work. My husband is actually a part of this year's anti-aging study, and so far he's seen great results. I did return to the Villa for a week this past May as a regular retreatant. Each day there, we had the opportunity to attend classes to improve our mind, our body, and our spirit. They were yoga, art, gym, mind-body play, pool exercises. The great part was hydroponics, sprouting microgreens, and growing mushrooms, something that we had actually begun at home with the hydroponics. Or if you're there, you can just relax and enjoy the beautiful property and peaceful surroundings. My favorite spot this time around was the meditation building with its bubbling water fountain and essential oils. They just allowed you to be present in the moment, which was wonderful. There were lots of engaging presentations by Gary. He invited Dr. Peter Resnick and Mitch Rubin, and they spoke on topics to help enhance and improve our lives, things like repurposing your life, Qigong, meditation, cleaning up stress, understanding the mind-body relationship, and, of course, passionate aging. I'm glad I took notes so I can go home and reflect on those things. The Villa is a place where you can experience the beauty of nature. The property has lots of areas where you can have privacy and just be peaceful. There are also a variety of animals throughout the property, including those beautiful peacocks. While I was there, actually, they rescued two dogs who had been dropped off nearby, just left there to fend for themselves. Everyone there, including Gary, stepped up in the world today. Luann, Panisi, and everyone who works and volunteered during my stay were focused on helping everyone get the most from our retreat. They were totally amazing. For me, the Villa is a place where positivity is embraced, and you're given an opportunity to be challenged, to open your mind, and to choose to make a difference in both your life and our world. And I do thank you, Gary, for that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you calling in and sharing that, Nan. And if you'd like to join us for 1 or 2 weeks, give Luann a call, 903-881-7008, 903-881-7008. And also next Sunday, 1 o'clock, world premiere, a webinar of a brand new film about aging is normal, but the way we age is an option. So you could be 40 and look 30. You could be 70 and look 40. Or you could be 40 and look 60 and biologically be at 80. So all the ways that we can slow down and reverse the diseases of the aging process and aging process itself with people who've done it will be in the film. And there'll be a question and answer afterwards. So I look forward to it. It's $30 for adults, regular people, and then $20 for seniors. The number to call is 877-627-5065. It starts at 1 o'clock next Sunday. 877-627-5065, or call Neil in the Vitamin Closet at 646-926-5430. Or you can go online, GaryNall.com, and sign up. That's it for today. Thank you all for listening. And tomorrow we're going to have a lot of different video clips for you that I think you'll find important. Have a nice day, everyone.